Hello and welcome to Freedom and Four Paws, the show where we hear inspiring stories from amazing people travelling the world and living their best life, often with their pets in tow.
From slow mads to digital nomads, house and pet sitters, expats and families with their dogs on the road. In this podcast, find out how travel can truly set you free. Hello, it's Cooper and Sarah from the Freedom and Four Paws podcast. We also publish the Travel Live Learn brand on the web and YouTube. We have been a little quiet over the last couple of months because Sarah, London and I have recently relocated from Australia all the way back to the United Kingdom. We've made a series of videos. If you're thinking about following in our footsteps, we show you how to get visas, how to find accommodation, a new flat, and most importantly, what do you do if you're transporting a dog internationally? In this podcast, we like to teach people how to travel longer and how to live and work from anywhere in the world. We have a popular Facebook group with over 15,000 subscribers. It's home to digital nomads, remote workers, and many of those, Sarah, are using house sitting as a way to live and work from anywhere in the world. We'll leave a link below, or if you want to drop us a note,
we'll be happy
to say hi and give you all that information. Now, over the past few months, we've been doing a survey of the group and we found out what some of the big challenges and concerns our members are facing with their remote lifestyle. And as a result, we've pulled together the six most frequently asked questions about remote working and house sitting in particular. And we'll do our best today to try and answer those questions to the best of our knowledge. So coming up in today's show, we'll cover how to find your tribe as a digital nomad. And of course, the hot topic of discussion, should you get paid for house sitting?
Ooh, a little contentious.
For those people who are aspiring to be house sitters full time, there are a lot of questions around how to organize the time between your sits. And I'm talking about that transition period, Sarah, when you have gaps. And of course, the horror story is when your house sitter cancels.
Hello, yes, and I'm Sarah, jumping in here. So I've been talking to a lot of our community, and as Cooper mentioned earlier, we're covering some of the big questions, the most frequently asked questions, and this one is something that keeps coming up. So when we got into our game of house sitting, Cooper, you'll remember, we started out trying to book back-to-back-to-back sits, right? I think that's the aspiration and the sort of game of mixing and matching your dates and trying to align things perfectly.
And in theory, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does sound good, but we quickly realized that it's really stressful. So we've talked to a lot of house sitters. We've met a lot of house sitters. And in fact, we are both house sitters and now homeowners. So we've had house sitters come and stay with us and look after our baby Westie London. We've done a lot of research. We've talked to a lot of people. And we've realized that there are heaps of people out there who are really trying to get this, really, you know, go from one sit to the other. Now, you can make it work, but a lot of the time, it just means it's really stressful for you. And it can be, you can be sort of cutting it to the wire, making it to your next house sit. So really, the advice we're giving here is that if you're going into this game, now there's a lot of seasoned house sitters out there and remote workers and digital nomads who are making this work, but most of us have realized that flexibility is the key. Try not to freak out if you can't make it all align one after the other after the other. And in fact, there's a high risk to doing that in some instances. So if you are going into this game, especially the house sitting game, now a lot of us, let's be frank, Cooper, a lot of us go into house sitting to save money, right? We are saving on accommodation. We are in the camp that house sitting is work. It is work. You've got a lot of responsibility looking after someone else's home and their pets, and sometimes those pets can have various needs and that's okay.
And they like to have their routine and structure throughout the day.
Exactly. So it's not free accommodation in exchange for nothing. There is and should be an equal exchange. You do save money, right? You save money on not paying huge accommodation costs, and that's a big benefit of house sitting. But we're seeing a lot of house sitters come into the group who are very attached to the idea of not spending very much money at all. If you are going to embark on long-term travels, you need some funds to keep you going or some income coming in to sustain you. Now, you mentioned earlier the bit of the nightmare scenario of if a house sit cancels on you. Now, actually, as both a house sitter and the homeowners, I would suggest that it's worse if the house sitter cancels on us. So we've got some sort of international trip booked and a house sitter bails at the last minute. That's pretty bad. Now, I know that house sitters are relying on the accommodation, but there is that whole, remember, so this might age us a bit, but remember when we used to go traveling as young people and our parents said, right, you need to have a credit card or just enough money in the bank to have your airfare home. So maybe that's an Australian thing because we're very far away. But basically the big piece of advice is here, you've got to have some money in your back pocket in case of emergencies. So you're not relying on this back-to-back-to-back sit. Also, you're going to burn yourself out if you do that.
And to add to that, Sarah, also like Sarah mentioned previously, some of the sits are quite large. You might be looking after a variety of animals, and it can be quite demanding getting up early in the afternoon, having to look after the animals at night. And if you're doing that for, say, a week to two weeks at a time,
or longer,
it's quite draining. So you'll appreciate having 3 or 4 days at a hotel or a hostel just to debrief, to unwind, to relax before you move straight into another house sit.
Yep, and actually our last house sitter, Hilda, who came here, she was showing me some really neat tricks on Airbnb for getting, Airbnb-ing a room in someone's house, and really shopping around and getting deals even at the last minute. So she was at our sit and she was looking for somewhere to stay between, so she was on her way to another sit in Wales, but then she had a few days that she'd left herself before she was heading to her next sit. And she was looking around in the area at lots of different types of Airbnb experiences and rooms and budget options in that space. So there are options, and I think people maybe get caught up, and I'm one of those people. I like to be organized and have everything booked 6 months or a year in advance and know what we're doing. But I've had to detach from a lot of that because you do need to be flexible. And sometimes there is a real reason to, you know, look at these things a bit last minute, get a great deal, and just be a bit agile in your approach. So our top tips in this space, if you are worried about what to do about accommodation between sits, really plan for the fact that inevitably at some point something won't go to plan for you. So give yourself some gaps between sits, have some budget or other options for where you might stay, just to give yourself a break, as you were saying, but also to just be a little bit more flexible with your timing.
Because that's happened to us. Sarah and I were house sitting for a couple. They went away for a week and they said, hey, would you like to come and house sit for us the following weekend? So we did a house sit somewhere else where we actually flew to another destination, and we said, oh, wow, yeah, it's great. We'd love to. So we booked our tickets to fly back, and then 2 days later they said, oh, we've changed our mind, we're not going to do that anymore, but hey, we'll be in touch in the future. And there's not much that you can do. And Sarah and I, like, we learn from that mistake. Then it's like, okay, you need to make sure that it's set in concrete.
And you have to, and just be flexible with it, because these things happen, plans do change. So don't leave yourself short. Do not have no money to back you up, and be prepared to spend just a little bit of money to stay calm, cool, and collected. Don't freak out. Be flexible with things. It is life. Just go with the journey.
Okay, now you've made that decision that you want to be a full-time house sitter. That leads into question two. So where do you find your house sits? Now, there's a lot of paid platforms out there, Sarah. There's a lot of Facebook groups online, or groups in general, where you can find house sits. How do you find our house sits?
So we started on Trusted House Sitters, like a lot of people do. But since going through this journey and talking to so many people, we have found that there's heaps of ways that people find their house sits. Now, if you're interested in this topic, there is awesome information on other episodes of Freedom and Four Paws, which you can also watch on YouTube on our channel, Travel, Live, Learn. So we interviewed a bunch of amazing house sitters, both solo travelers and families, couples and families.
And one couple traveling with their dog.
Yes, we aspire to be like them.
Yes.
Now,
hey, Gus.
Yeah, oh, Gus, bless his heart. So we learnt so much from talking to these prolific house sitters, didn't we? And one of the things that all of them spoke about was how they get their house sits. So a lot of them did start on Trusted House Sitters like we do, but now they spend time on Facebook groups like the one that we facilitate, which is for, the travel curious, but also other digital nomads, remote workers, house and pet sitters. There's plenty of paid sites that you can go on, and there's a number of free sites. So things like Rover, it's an interesting one. So it's not a membership site like Trusted House Sitters, but you sign up as a sitter, you get your verifications and your references and things. And you Rover takes a cut of your fee. But we do have a full list of house sitting sites around the world on a piece of training that we've pulled together that's just a fiver, just $5. And we will put the link below. So we've pulled together resources for house sitters, including this list of places where you can find house sits, where you can pay for a membership, but some are free options as well. So Facebook is another big one, and there's heaps of people advertising house sits as well as their house sitting services within that group. But a great tip that some of the people that we spoke to gave us was, say you're traveling in Mexico, go on to the local community sites. Especially if you're slow traveling or remote working, digital nomad, you're there for a while, right? Go and get involved in the local community groups, or if there's WhatsApp community groups, get involved in these, and get to know who's on there, and throw out there every now and then that you are a house sitter, share where your references might be, or if you have a site that includes some of your testimonials and things, get involved in the community sites and let people know what you do, because heaps of people that we've spoken to have found house sits in this way. So it's a bit unusual because it's not house sitting sites, but it's the local community sites.
Because in certain parts of like Central and South America, a lot of these companies or these places who are trying to advertise for house sitters don't have websites, and it's all done internally through WhatsApp groups,
yeah, or Facebook,
other chatting
community
to people
areas
in the community.
Yeah,
yes.
Or like getting to know people at the local,
yeah,
market, things like that. And then the other way people are getting house sits is through referrals, word of mouth, and repeat business. So really it's about that whole building your community, building your network, and just ask questions, ask us in the Facebook group, ask other sitters what they're doing. There are heaps of ways people are getting house sits now, including long-term sitting options, which are awesome for the remote workers amongst us. Hey, fellow adventurers. If you've found your way here, we want to let you know that there's even more great free resources available for you to make the most of your work-life experiences. Whether you're on the road as a remote worker or digital nomad, or you just want more freedom in your business.
Join thousands of other like-minded people in our Facebook group. Find our page, Travel, Live, Learn, and follow the links to our group from there. Also, visit travellivelearn.com and sign up for our VIP mailing list.
Yes, Cooper, by joining, you'll instantly score our free and easy training, 5 Secrets of a Corporate Communications Manager, to up-level your income and brand. Other bonus downloads are also included, like an exclusive 25% off code to join one of our most used travel resources, Trusted House Sitters.
Visit travellivelearn.com for all the details. Okay, question number 3, how do I become a digital nomad, and what are some of the practicalities that need to be considered? And I'm referring, Sarah, to like, how do you find work? What sort of visas do you need? Do you need to have a budget? How much money should I have in the bank before I start to get on the road? And where do you find your accommodation? How do you find people?
Oh, gosh. That's a big question, isn't it? And look, we'll probably give a fairly short answer to this question because you know, it depends on where you're going in the world and where you want to go in the world. Some places require far less cash behind you than others. So we're from Australia, and a lot of people, actually a lot of Americans and Canadians, heaps of people go to places like Bali, which is a bit cheaper, although there's so many people going there now. I don't know how cheap it is. It depends where you want to go as to how much money you have saved. We would advocate for having what, as much money as you can save.
I think so.
Yep. Going back to what we were talking about in the house sitting thing too, you know, if you don't have a lot of money behind you, it can become really stressful when things go wrong. You don't want to end up in a foreign country running out of cash. I'm sure many people have, and we've come close to it, but it's the smart way to approach this is to have some finances up your sleeve.
And I suppose so. That's why a lot of people are going to these countries like Bali, because the cost of living is a lot lower.
Mm.
So when you're starting out and you're trying to bring in money, if you've got a bit of a budget there, it can allow you like a 3 or 4 month window
yes.
to develop your clients and get more money coming into your account.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we did that this time, didn't we, coming back to the UK. So a quick snapshot of our history. We lived in the UK for 8 years. We literally got locked into Australia when COVID hit. We were visiting and we had to start again. So, but we always wanted to come back to give us the chance to remote work and to travel, etc. But we really saved hard, didn't we, to give ourselves a buffer because we didn't know how long it would take to get work or clients and things. So,
and transporting a dog is very, very expensive.
Yeah, we had to save that. It's really expensive.
Yes.
So, yeah, look. Obviously, tip number one, don't go into it thinking you can do it all on a shoestring, because maybe you can and that's awesome, but it just means you'll have more money up your sleeve. Actually, your cousin and his partner, we won't name them on here in case they don't want to be named, but they did exactly that, didn't they? They saved and saved and saved before a huge trip where they spent a lot of time living around the world and experiencing things. But they ended up finding ways to save heaps of money along the way. So they ended up with more money in their back pocket, but they went into it with the view that they would rather have money behind them in case of emergency than get stuck somewhere and run out of money.
So they had a 6 month window where they could pretty much travel full time and that accounted for accommodation, food, transport. But like you said, Sarah, they met a lot of people along the way, which helped bring down their costs.
Yeah, so they ended up saving money, but you're better off to be in that camp than not have enough money. So that's the budget side of it. Look, as a remote worker and digital nomad, so there are some really great digital nomad visas popping up around the world, but like with any visa, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily straightforward to apply for. Do your research, and if you have a chance to engage with an immigration lawyer in the country that you'd like to live in for a while, I know it's extra money, but I would recommend it, because you know you're safe. So the other side of it that's linked with the visas is the tax implications. Now, post-COVID, because remote work has become even bigger than it was before. Look, digital nomadism was absolutely on the rise before COVID. But since COVID, one of the benefits of a global pandemic has shown a lot of people that they can live and work from a lot of different places. And in brilliant news, a lot of employers are also open to this concept, but you need to be able to prove that you are doing the right thing in terms of tax. So a digital nomad visa, for example, allows you to live and work legitimately, legally in a different country. So if you have a digital nomad visa for Croatia, for example, those rules mean that you're complying with the tax laws there. And whoever is, you know, employing you is trusting that you're doing the right thing tax-wise. I suspect that maybe pre-COVID you could get away with some of this stuff a little bit more than you can now, but governments around the world are all over the tax implications now. Get your visas right, get your tax. I mean, it's something that we're looking into here in the UK, isn't it? Sort of setting ourselves up again as self-employed. We've already talked to bookkeepers and we're about to talk to an accountant as well, just to get it right. Because again, these are things you don't want to get caught out on, because they can lead to you being booted out of a country, if not worse.
And some countries have higher expectations about what sort of income you need to bring in. So in certain parts of Europe, the expectation might be that you bring in, say, 5,000 euros per month, whereas a different country might be 3 or 4, depending on where you are in the world.
And also, the last thing we'd say on this piece about the logistics of being a digital nomad, if you're a freelancer or an entrepreneur, you've probably got a lot more freedom in terms of setting yourself up and doing the right thing by you and your clients. But an interesting stat that's come out of America this year, which is 2023 at time of recording, apparently, so the stat was, there's about 17 million Americans who call themselves digital nomads at the moment, right? So they're Americans who are living and working in other parts of the world. Two-thirds of those are actually not freelancers or entrepreneurs. They're working for a company in America, which blows my mind, because previously we thought, you know, you see that ideal of people living and working in Bali or Colombia or somewhere. They're usually freelancing. You know, you hear the stories of the virtual assistant who's making $1 million a year or something. But actually, two-thirds of these digital nomads out of America, the 17 million of them, are working for another company. So they have a full-time job or a part-time job where another company is paying them. So it's really interesting in that you need to get the tax stuff right, because your company, the contract that you're employed on, is relying on a bunch of different things going right and being legal. So the logistics of being a digital nomad, maybe not as straightforward as they were before, but then maybe a lot of us were just winging it before. So look, do your research, ask around. And again, jump in. There's so many great digital nomad Facebook groups as well. Ask people questions. Be armed with information so that you know that you're doing the right thing. You can't get in trouble and you can enjoy your time seamlessly wherever you're living and working.
Okay, question number 4. Now that you are a digital nomad or a remote worker, how do you deal with isolation and how do you find your tribe? But most importantly, Sarah, what I've found sometimes is, how do you stay motivated?
Oh, motivation's a good one, isn't it? Because we did go through a period where we were feeling a little bit demotivated. Maybe it was the winter in England, though. No, I was about to say America.
And just saying that, Sarah, when you've got a dog, dogs are very distracting. You can see your dog rolling around on the ground being really cute. Then you're like, oh, come on, let's have a bit of a cuddle. Let's go for a walk and grab a coffee.
It is true. But look, in terms of the isolation thing, let's tackle that one first. So that's about finding your community, isn't it? So we've got two options. We can get involved in online communities and get involved in your physical community if there's enough people around. I don't know. Sometimes we've ended up on house sits where there's, what, 5 people in the whole town and they don't speak our language. So that can be a bit tricky. So maybe you've got to go online for that. But a general rule of thumb, in person, you've been really good at this actually, Cooper, in the past when we've moved to new neighborhoods. You've used sport as an opportunity to meet new people and expand your network. So you've joined, what, football teams and things?
Yeah, it's like touch football, rugby league, union. Being a guy, it's a lot easier because it's a team sport and you might have 13, 14 people in a team and then you go to training. So you're meeting all these different people from all different sort of walks of life, don't you, Sarah? I also like going into town on the weekends or going to the marketplaces, find a nice cafe, go there regularly and then they get to know you. You can practice your language with them and it's just nice. I'm more of the in-person sort of experience, Sarah. So you don't mind sort of the online as much?
Yeah, look, I've come to appreciate in-person more since this remote work situation, because you know there's certain things sometimes about the workplace that you don't miss, you know, some of the politics or people having a bad day, but then by the same token you do miss that incidental water cooler chat. So I was about to say, yeah, marketplace, a couple of the solo travelers we've spoken to recently for Freedom and Four Paws, it was Anne Marie and Beth, both said they do exactly what you just said, like get out, meet people, go to the coffee shops, go to the markets, talk to people, get amongst your community and meet people like that. I'm not so sporty, so the sport thing doesn't work for me. But when we were in London, various things that I do to meet people included maybe signing up for short courses where I could go and learn something and then make friends with the other people in the course. Of course, networking events. I know people have different views about networking, and sometimes you can turn up to them and they're really daunting. But actually, I had a really good experience with a networking event just last week in our new neighborhood where I met a bunch of really nice people who were warm and welcoming.
Inspiring.
Inspiring, yeah. You want to be around people because, linking to the motivation thing, being around people and having a conversation and learning from them and them learning from you does help to motivate you.
And you said that some of those meeting groups or those meetup groups or chat groups can be sometimes daunting. Set yourself a little goal. Okay, today I'm going to meet three people. I'm going to get two emails or I'm going to get a friend. And try and maybe organise a coffee catch-up or a lunch.
Yeah, exactly. And actually the facilitator at this networking event did say just what you said, have a goal. And she said, take it out of here, like have a goal to set one or two coffees for the month. So getting out and that face-to-face thing, we can't, you know, I don't think it can be, it's, you can't understate it, but I do think since COVID and also because of all our online digital stuff, it can be very, very tempting to not go and do it. But when you do it, you realize how invaluable it is. But that leads us to online options. Now, another cool thing I did last week for the first time was I joined virtual co-working. So, I wasn't quite sure how this would work, but there's the Freelancer magazine here that's based in the UK, and they facilitate this virtual co-working three times a week. It's for 2 hours in the morning on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They have someone hosting it each week, and so you log in. It's just a Zoom link, I think. You log in, and the host gets everyone to introduce themselves and say maybe what you want to achieve in the next 2 hours with dedicated, focused work. Then we worked for 45 minutes. Then there was a little bit of a breakout session where she broke the group into, you know, pockets of three or four. We had a bit of a chat for 10 minutes to get to know each other. Then we went into focused work again for 45 minutes and went on our way. And most of us left our cameras on during that 45 minutes focus work too, because it's like it's virtual co-working. It's like going to a co-working space, but it's virtual. And, you know, there's no co-working spaces very near to where we live right now. So this was really novel. So that's one thing I discovered. But of course, there's online communities like our own on Facebook. Our top tips for there would be what? Don't sort of, if you feel isolated and demotivated, maybe challenge yourself, like you were saying before, but in the virtual space, challenge yourself to post once a week, but also put 5 comments on people's posts. Oh, and this could be in a Facebook group, it could be on LinkedIn. Challenge yourself to be engaged. Don't just sort of lurk or post like broadcast. Engage, challenge yourself to 5 comments or add 5 new people to your network on LinkedIn a week and just actually actively engage in online communities and gradually build from there. So, you know, it's about you get out of it as much as you put in.
So I think the most valuable point, Sarah, there is be proactive.
And I guess there's other things you can keep an eye out for too, like conferences that you can join. There was a great one I saw recently called Running Remote. See, there's different ways to get actively involved.
And big cities, Sarah, you're spoiled for choice when it comes to groups. They have interest groups, everything you can think of.
My last point that I almost forgot, but it's really important, is you just mentioned big cities, right? But a lot of us aren't in big cities. But if you're not and you can't find what's right for you, go ahead and create it. Set up a meetup of your own. You can use a Facebook event. You can use meetup.com. Set up a, you know, I don't know, it could be for freelancers. It could be a creative meetup. Give it 3 or 4 or 5 months to let the event build momentum. You might have no one show up for the first couple. You might have 1 or 2. Doesn't matter. And we've done this before, haven't we? Set up little meetups. Some of those meetups that we've set up have only had a few people at them, but we're still firm friends today. So take the initiative and set your own community up if there's nothing else that works around you.
The team at Exhale creates brand building content and strategy for businesses and business owners who don't have the access to their own comms team.
Yep, consider them your cheeky secret to awesome comms and engagement. The team offers monthly packages of content that include video, e-newsletter copy, social media, strategy coaching, and more. But there's currently free training available to download right now. It's called 5 Secrets of a Corporate Communications Manager. Take a look at exhalemediagroup.com.
All the details you need are over at exhalemediagroup.com. Send an inquiry and mention the Freedom and Four Paws podcast for 20% off any purchase service. Visit exhalemediagroup.com.
Question number 5, and the buzzword, Sarah, on everyone's lips, and it's all across social media, and that is AI, artificial intelligence. Can we use AI to help us find house sits?
Well, AI, so pretty much, it's interesting, isn't it? ChatGPT is the main thing. Let's, you know, elephant in the room. ChatGPT is what we're talking about here. AI has been around us for a while. It detects things that we do on Google and Spotify and all sorts of things.
But so, over the last couple of months, it has exploded.
Yeah. So look, we won't lie. We use ChatGPT pretty much every day. If you've not tried ChatGPT, we would highly recommend it.
And there are two versions, 3 and 4, isn't there? 4 is the paid version.
Yep. And we use ChatGPT so much that we do invest in 4. So 4 is the sort of newer, faster version. Keeping in mind, ChatGPT can only access information at the moment that's up to around 2021. So if you are using ChatGPT for life and work stuff, always, always fact check and always edit. But in the context of house and pet sitting, I think one great way to use it is really get ChatGPT to check or edit your application, for example, so that you can try and stand out. You know, we've discussed in some of these other episodes how competitive house sitting is now, and there's a lot of people trying to score house sits, especially the coveted long sits where you can just remote work and take care of pets for a while and have your accommodation in hand for a few months. Go ahead and use ChatGPT. I think it's a great resource for checking your work. Look, particularly if you are applying in English and English might be your second language, get ChatGPT to help edit your work for sense and things like that. There's plenty of other uses for ChatGPT in our home and work life. Actually, we've pulled together a quick bit of training too. I'll drop it in the links below. We've pulled together, I think it's 7 awesome ways that you should be using ChatGPT in your life and work. And we've got that as a, we'll put a discount on that. It's not very expensive as it is, but you can apply ChatGPT to almost anything you're doing. But I'll caveat that by saying that there is still it's absolutely necessary to check and edit your work. So work with AI and ChatGPT. Don't just rely on it, and definitely don't disregard it because it's not going anywhere.
Okay, question number 6, and the most popular question that always pops up in our group and in our feeds, and that's the hot topic of discussion. Should house sitters be paid?
Ooh, don't we see some rip-roaring arguments about this sometimes? In a nutshell, Cooper and I come at this topic from the point of view that everyone needs to calm down a little bit. There's room for both camps. So we don't get paid for house sitting when we go through trusted house sitters. We were quite happy to take house sits in a reasonable exchange for taking care of someone's pets and property. By the same token, I think it's really, really exciting that this pet care business is booming at the moment. There's plenty of opportunity to make money out of it, and in a positive way, because you're contributing to taking care of animals, which is a really important thing to do. So as long as you're in it for the right reasons, there shouldn't be any reason why you can't make money out of it. But we've had in the Facebook group people sort of going at each other for either charging or not charging.
And just to be clear, if you are charging, you're charging people for your services, you need to make that clear from the very beginning. Don't wait until the end of the sit and then complain in a Facebook group saying, oh, I haven't been paid. If the owners don't know that you're charging for this service, why would they pay you?
Exactly. I think decide what works for you. And if, like you said, if you're setting it up as a business, value your time and value your rates and be upfront about it. And if someone doesn't want to pay you, that's okay. They're just not the client for you. All good.
Because the platform that you're on determines whether or not you get paid.
So Trusted House Sitters in general, it's a free exchange of accommodation in, as I say, and I emphasize, reasonable exchange for services. And, you know, we've been lucky enough pretty much so far, haven't we? And most people do have good experiences. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing it for free. And anyone who is house sitting for free for their own good reasons is not devaluing the industry, as we've had say before. There are two camps. There are two different reasons for house sitting. There are two reasons. You know, you either house sit for free or you want to be paid. If you've set it up as a business, awesome. And it's something we will be transparent about. Pet care is a big business. We're looking into it too. Why not? We offer great service. We offer compassionate and caring service. So it is something that we're looking at. And we do value our service and our time. So we don't feel that there's any reason we shouldn't put a dollar figure on that. But by the same token, if we or other people are house sitting for free and they're happy for that.
And that's where communication comes in. Yeah. You need to communicate with the house owner.
Mm. But we also, in the digital nomad and house sitting space, I'd love to see us supporting each other and helping each other. You know, the people who are doing house sitting for free today may tomorrow want to move into turning it into a business. Why not? Let's help each other. Let's support each other, but acknowledge that there are reasons why people do it for free. And there are areas where people are turning it into a business. We are fully supportive of both. And we would love to see, you know, the conversation in this space evolve to people helping and support each other with information and knowledge and to grow house sitting, the industry, to benefit everyone, including homeowners and pet owners who are relying on us for our services. This is a beautiful win-win for all, whether you're being paid or not. But as Cooper said, one of the big issues we see coming up is that people have expected to be paid but not brought it up in the first place. Consider it or treat it like any other business. And in fact, if we were moving into it in this space and charging and not going through a site like Rover, for example, just like with freelance work, copywriting, content, comms, I expect half my fee up front. Because I've been burned in the past where people have not paid me or I've had to chase it for 9 months. So I think we would expect some of that fee as we probably turned up to the sit, if not the whole fee as we turned up to the sit. And we certainly pay people if we're paying someone for their services. We pay them when they show up, or if they want half up front or whatever, that's fine. We'll do that too.
So if you've made that transition from offering free services to now being paid, hey, we'd love to find out. Send us a message. So there's a lot of people who also like to know as well. And maybe we can create a topic around that one as well, Sarah.
Love to. We'd love to talk to you. Yes, reach out to us.
If you found this content helpful, hey, we'd love it if you could subscribe. We are Freedom in Four Paws, the podcast. We also publish similar content on our YouTube channel, Travel, Live, Learn. When you're over there, please hit the subscribe, like, and notifications button. And finally, we have a free house sitting 4-part email series that we'd love for you to sign up for. Hey, Sarah, just want to give us a quick summary of what that's all about?
Yeah, look, if you're trying to get into house sitting, and especially if you're a remote worker or digital nomad, we've got a 4-part email series. It's really digestible. It's easy to follow. But if you watch all the videos and read the links that are included, you will understand everything you need to know to get started on your path to successful and happy house sitting. We'll leave the link below with all the others. Thanks for listening to Freedom in Four Paws.
And pat your dog for me.
Thanks for joining us on the Freedom and Four Paws podcast. This production has been inspired by our awesome Facebook community. Join the group by searching Pets and House Sitting Travel and Digital Nomads, or find the group via the link on our Facebook page, Travel Live Learn.
This podcast is brought to you by TravelLiveLearn.com. Visit the site today to find out more about this podcast, access show notes, and sign up to our mailing list for free house and pet sitting application templates, guides, and a 25% off registration code for trusted house sitters.
If you love this content and want more of it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast service. You can find us on YouTube too. Look up Travel, Live, Learn. Until next time, give your pet a pat from us and say yes to that next adventure.